A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service. Today is the 10th of January 2021, only 10 days into the year 2021, and the second Sunday in this year. And already we are beginning to experience some of the joys and confusions that would come with the year. For example, the recent problem in the United States of America, exposing Western democracy again to the world in a way that is not very helpful. But we thank God this morning that we are able to get out of our beds and at least sit in the comfort of our homes and worship Him. So as we come with our burdens, as we come with our joys, as we come with our sorrows, let us empty ourselves of ourselves so that God would bless us and do what He has promised He would do. With that, let me now invite Catherine Merrilies to bring to us a very important intimation.
Hello, everyone. Well, we're all not quite where we expect to be. And for everyone who's in that position, which is all of us who have to stay at home, you may have some free time on your hands. And I've just been asked to extend an invitation from Amos and from Kathy Barrable, who is the priest in charge at St. Mary's, for a conversation evening. Well, it's just an hour. So what it is it's called Join the Conversation. And the first one will be, how does God guide us? But it will be a conversation about anything and everything, preferably not blithering, because you can do that in other sort of fora, but just to get together with people in the community, beyond the community, all around the world even, to talk about things that really matter and how we can find God's will in those things and how we can live our Christian lives under these different circumstances. So the invitation's there, it's open to all. If you want more information, contact either Kathy or Amos. It's 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, starting this coming Tuesday. So please do consider spending that hour with other people and join the conversation. Thank you. Now I'll hand over to Graham.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord. Your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. We join to sing our first hymn, O Worship the King.
Oh,
us pray. Let us come before God with our prayer of approach, confession, and thanksgiving. God of light, light of light, true God, we bless you. God of new beginnings, hope of hope, as we reach for this new year, we bless you. God of joy, delight of delight, as we give thanks for all that is good, we bless you. Lord of hope, we give you thanks for a new day. We arise today to a horizon, guiding our eye beyond the everyday, to a dawn gently lighting up the wonders of your creation, to a whispered dew rooting us firmly to this precious earth. For this and more, we thank you. Lord of hope, we give you thanks for a new year. We arise today to the knowledge that your Son, our Lord, goes before us, to the hope that through his presence, all people will be transformed, to the promise of salvation for all. For this and more, we thank you. God of life, you commanded us to be the caretakers of your creation. Instead, because of our self-centeredness, we have exploited and destroyed it. Lord, forgive us. God of justice, you commanded us to care for the life of your creatures. Instead, because of our greed, we accumulate resources for our own benefits and perpetuate the ecological debts in the world. Lord, forgive us. God, the bread of life, you commanded us to feed the hungry and give us sufficient food, and you gave us sufficient food for every creature. Instead, because of our gluttony, we forget the needs of others, take more than we need, and waste the food. Lord, forgive us. God of compassion, you commanded us to love each other as you love us. Instead, because of our love of profits, we foster unsustainable consumption and deny others the means to live in fullness of life. Lord, forgive us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, What a Beautiful Name.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, I could separate us now. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Christ and my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Let us listen for the word of God in the first book of Samuel at chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said when he arrived at Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at, but looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. And our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Mark, from chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. John the Baptist prepares the way. In the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Thanks be to God. We will now sing the hymn, "On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the source of all light. You divinely separated light from darkness so that we may have the beauty of the light of day. Dear Lord, illuminate this day and enlighten us as we seek to know you through your word. May we be led by your light so our hearts may be opened to your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Have you found Jesus Christ? Have you found Jesus Christ? The story is told of a drunken man who stumbled across a baptismal service on Sunday afternoon down by the river. He proceeded to walk into the water and stood next to the old country preacher. The minister noticed the old drunk and said to him, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk looked back and said, "Yes, preacher, I sure am." So the minister dunked the fellow under the water and pulled him right back up. "Have you found Jesus?" the preacher asked. "No, I didn't," said the drunk. The preacher then dunked him under for quite a bit longer, brought him up and said, "Now, brother, have you found Jesus?" "No, I haven't, Reverend." The preacher now held the man under for at least 30 seconds this time, brought him out of the water and said, in exasperation, "Man, have you found Jesus yet?" To which the old drunk replied after wiping his eyes, saying, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" I don't know what the pastor meant when he kept asking the drunk whether he had found Jesus under the water. But it is certain to me the drunk imagined Jesus was under the waters. But you and I, friends, know that Jesus is not located under waters. He is to be found in our hearts, where he is capable of transforming us into vessels of greater beauty. That is why we learn from our first reading in 1 Samuel 16 this morning that the Lord looks at the heart and not outward appearances. And this whole principle is connected to our baptism, because our baptism symbolizes purification and regeneration and admission to the Christian church, where we continue to seek ways through learning the word of God to know Christ more fully. I think the beginning of a new year is a good time for us to reflect on our own baptism, whether our faith in this perspective is developing in a way that honors God, or how our understanding of baptism is helping our relationships with one another. The Apostle Mark, in speaking about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, reveals the kind of baptism John the Baptizer preached to his contemporaries. We are told by Mark that it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The Jew was familiar with ritual washing, which was carried out every day because they imagined they often defiled themselves and so needed cleansing. The Gentiles were unclean because they had never kept any part of the Jewish law. Therefore, when a Gentile became a convert to the Jewish faith, he had to be circumcised as a mark of the covenant people. Sacrifice had to be made for him because he stood in need of atonement, and only blood could atone for sin. And he had to undergo baptism, which symbolized his cleansing from all the pollution of his past life. So when John spoke about baptism, the Jews knew what he was talking about. But the amazing thing about John's baptism was that he, a Jew, was asking Jews to submit to that which only a Gentile needed to do. If the Jews had their ritual cleansing every day to wash away their sins and defilement, why did they need another baptism? But you see, friends, John had made the tremendous discovery that to be a Jew in the racial sense was not to be a member of God's chosen people. Jews were not different from Gentiles if they lived in sin. It was not the Jewish life, but the cleansed to God. It was like saying to Christian people who gather for worship every day or every week, you must give your life to Christ, when in fact we all think we've given our lives to Christ, and that's why we worship weekly and even daily. John the Baptist said, you need to be baptized to be cleansed from sin. And the kind of baptism John was talking about was not ceremonial baptism or some ritual cleansing in big waters, as many think today, that would bring them to heaven and contest baptism by sprinkling. That was not the kind of baptism John was preaching. It was a baptism of repentance and confession from at least three perspectives. Firstly, repentance or confession to ourselves. I'm sure you would agree with me that we human beings are often blind to what we do not wish to see about ourselves, especially our own sins. But our first step to grace is to recognize that we are poor sinners who are looking for repentance. No wonder when the prodigal son left home, he thought himself a fine and adventurous character. Before deciding to return home, he took a good look at himself. In the midst of severe famine, he had hired himself out to a pig farmer. Seeing firsthand that the pigs were eating better than him, he decided to return to his father and beg to be allowed to serve as a hired servant on the estate. I will get up and go home and say that I am an utter failure and disgrace, he said to himself. Dear friends, there is no one in all the world harder to face than ourselves. And the first step to repentance and to a right relationship with God is to admit our sin to ourselves. And then we must confess to those we have wronged. It's no use saying to God we are sorry until we are able to say sorry to those whom we have hurt and grieved. The human barriers need to be removed before the divine barriers can go. Confession to God is often easier because we do not see him. But confession to men and women we see and interact with daily is quite difficult because we find it humiliating sometimes. But there can be no forgiveness without humiliation. And it is useless to live your life in bondage in this world because of strained relationships with people while hoping you would enjoy some eternity with God in heaven. We must confess any wrongs we've committed against people and free ourselves from that prison. Then we must confess to God. Because it is when we say, I have sinned, that God gets the chance to say, I forgive you. It is not one who desires to meet God on equal terms who will discover forgiveness, but the one who kneels in humble contrition and whispers through his shame, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the kind of baptism John preached. The baptism of repentance and confession, and people flocked out to listen to him and to be baptized. And he was successful in his ministry because he pointed to something and someone beyond himself. He told people that he baptized them in water, but one was coming who would baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And while water could cleanse one's body, John indicated one would come and baptize them with the Holy Spirit that will cleanse one's life and self and heart. And John's one aim was not to occupy the center of the stage himself, but to try to connect people with the one who was greater and stronger than he. And people listened to him because he pointed to the one whom all of us need. Surprisingly enough, among those who responded to John's call for baptism was Jesus Christ. He must have known that John the Baptist was the authentic voice of God. But did Jesus need to be baptized at all? Baptism was meant for those who were sorry for their sins and who wished to leave behind the life of sin. Was Jesus not the sinless one? And was not such a baptism unnecessary and quite irrelevant as far as he was concerned? Well, there were at least three reasons why the sinless Savior entered the waters of Jordan to be baptized by John. First, he thought this was the moment of decision. For 30 years, Jesus had stayed in Nazareth. He had faithfully discharged his duties to his home. But he was conscious that the time for him to go out and do what he had come into the world to do would one day come. And he must have waited for a sign. When John emerged, Jesus saw this as that sign. And then secondly, it was a moment of decision. Jesus knew when John emerged that a moment of decision had come. Nazareth was peaceful and home was sweet. Home is always sweet. But he answered the summons and the challenge of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have moments of decision which we may accept or reject. To accept them many times is to succeed, and to reject them to fail. And finally, it was a moment of approval. Nobody leaves their home and sets out for an unknown destination. You must know where you are going. And it is always important to find a sign or an approval towards that. So the one must be very sure that he or she is right. Jesus Christ had decided on his course of action. And now he was looking for the real or the seal of approval from God who had sent him into the world. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And that voice signaled the approval he was looking for. And at the baptism, Jesus Christ submitted his decision to God, and that decision was approved. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus equipped him for the task he was to do. The dove is a symbol of gentleness. And the picture of the Spirit likened to a dove is a picture of gentleness. Jesus Christ will conquer the world, but the conquest will be the conquest of love. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I bring this to a close, let me ask you, do you remember when you were baptized? Probably several years ago, decades. What do you think now of your baptism in the faith? Baptism is about a born-again experience. And born-again people need constantly to examine themselves, their relationship with others, and their relationship to God. Have we wandered away from Almighty God at some point in our journey in faith? We need to repent and come back to Him. Or maybe we need to confess to ourselves in the ways that we have treated ourselves or even our bodies. Maybe we fed our bodies with so much junk food and did little or no exercise so that the body is weak and sick. We need to do better and even confess to those bodies that we've not treated them well. And then we need to confess to one another, to seek forgiveness from those we've wronged, so that we can at least be at peace with them and with ourselves. And we need to come to God with contrite hearts and acknowledge that we are poor sinners needing his grace. And then finally, do you have plans for the new year? Has God shown something to you you want to do for your family, for the church, for the community, or just some persons or groups of persons for Christ's name's sake? We need wisdom to make decisions in much the same way as Jesus sought approval from God. And that voice of approval may come through a faithful friend, a family member, and others whom we trust. Let us think about our baptism as something that should lead us to examine our relationships with ourselves, our relationship with one another, our relationship with God. And let us seek God's approval and direction in all that we do. Have you found Jesus? Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning and for reminding us about our baptism and what it means for us, for our lives, for our relationships with others, and for our relationship with you. Help us, O Father, to find time often to re-examine ourselves and to confess that we are not what you want us to be. Help us to re-examine our relationship with others and to seek forgiveness if we've hurt them in any way. Help us, O Father, to re-examine our relationship with you and to come to you, O Father, with penitent hearts and ask for your forgiveness. And we pray most especially that, Father, you would guide us in all the decisions we need to make this year. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, O Christ in Thee My Soul Hath Found.
we join together in prayer to dedicate our offerings. Lord God, we sometimes feel helpless or even paralyzed by the events that control our lives. And yet, despite the global scale of our problems and our apparent weakness, you invite us to be part of your work, of your reimagining the world, of your kingdom. So we dedicate our offerings to your loving purposes in glad acknowledgement that in the salvation of Jesus, you haven't finished your transforming work in us, and you haven't finished your transforming work through us, through the self-giving love of Jesus. Amen. And we continue in prayer of intercession. Let's pray. Lord God, your creative power has been at work since before the dawn of mankind, and you have revealed your power and plans that stretch farther than our imaginings. And yet so many of us feel stuck in this moment with no way to get ourselves out of it. And so we pray for those who are at the sharp end of the struggle with coronavirus, our medical staff, and the carers tending to the most vulnerable among us. Lord, give them the insight and perseverance we would all depend on to protect and save our loved ones. We pray too for those involved in the vaccination program, in its planning, logistics, and delivering the doses. Lord, you have shown us time and again your care and compassion for the sick and the suffering. And so we pray for those suffering with COVID-19, and also for those whose conditions are undiagnosed or whose treatments are delayed at this time. Father, in your mercy, bring care and healing to those who need it. And in a moment of silence, we remember those who we know and love who need your healing touch. Father God, your word this morning reminded us that your requirements for a leader start from within and are not swayed by the human follies of power and populism. Father, just as we have prayed that you continue your work in and through us, so we earnestly pray that you continue your work in and through our leaders, to build in them a vision based on truth and on justice, to lead them in action for equity and well-being of the people, and to foster in them the humility that would protect them and us from the snares of corruption and misuse of power. We pray for the Prime Minister and our government and Parliament in Westminster. We pray for our First Minister and all at Holyrood. And especially at this time, we pray for the government and administration of the United States of America, and for law and order to prevail over the coming days, and for peace and reconciliation to grow over the coming months and years. Lord God, you see into every human heart, but we are so often focused on the stony path we are on that we lose sight of the plight of others further afield. We turn our thoughts to the fighting and the ensuing suffering in Yemen. Lord, strengthen those who strive to relieve the suffering of those afflicted by war, and encourage and strengthen those who strive for peace. We pray especially that you would allow the change in power in Washington to be the tipping point for peace in the Middle East. And Father, we pray for our own community in this corner of Fife and in this church. Father, open our eyes to the needs of our neighbours and open our minds to new ways of becoming a community of your kingdom. We pray you bless our civic leaders as they provide our local services, and we pray you bless those who are most in need and depend on them. Lord, bless and guide Amos, Florence and Amman's family, and also our session and the new Fife Presbytery, as they all listen for what you have to say to us today, as they draw close to you in prayer, and as they work to make the kingdom of Christ Jesus a reality in our community. It's through the teaching, the the love and sacrifice of Jesus, that we boldly pray. And it's to him we give the honour and the glory. Amen. Our next hymn is 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Let us now together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah."
Thank you.
If you are able, please, you may stand wherever you are for us to have the benediction. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.
Thank you.